There are times when we think of the holiness of God and we sing of the holiness of God, or we talk of it. And in those times we often think, how could such a God still love me? How can this perfect, this holy God still love me? Because one of the things we're taught from our earliest days, which is true about God, is that he knows, he sees, he understands. There is nothing that is hidden from him. Nothing. How could this God still love me? And yet, the amazing truth of the gospel is that he does. He does still love us. And we see that in this passage where Abram again demonstrates faith. Abram had been in Egypt, which is not where God wanted him to be. God had brought him, had been leading him to this promised land. Abraham, I want you to go and I will show you where to go. But it wasn't Egypt. It was Canaan, the promised land. But Abraham makes his way into Egypt because he's looking around him thinking, there's not much food in Canaan. I'd be better off in Egypt. I know what God wants from me, but I've got a better idea. So I'll head to Egypt and I'll work things out. Now, if you remember the story from chapter 12, he gets himself into a whole mess there. Whether he's trying to get a big dowry for Sarah, or whether he's trying to protect himself, who knows? But he gets himself into a whole mess with Pharaoh and ends up being told to get out of it. But he leaves. He leaves a wealthy man. Now, when we talk about wealthy people today, we're generally talking about their investments and their bank accounts and their stocks and shares and all of that other stuff. Stuff that maybe you can't see. In Abram's time, and in many cultures around the world still, it was what you could see that measured their wealth. It was the number of cattle that he had. It was the size of the flocks. It was the number of servants. It was the household that he had. All those things, those were ways of measuring how wealthy Abram was. And so he leaves Egypt, this wealthy man, with the livestock, the silver, and the gold, which had to keep moving around because you were grazing all these animals. You couldn't stay in one place. You had to keep moving around. One of the big lessons of this chapter 13 is that because of the grace of God, we get more than one new beginning. God never rubs us out and casts us to one side. Yes, Abram has messed up again, but God blesses him and brings him forward. And there's a lesson for us to learn. God's promises are not fulfilled because of who we are or what we do. God doesn't keep his promises because we're good people. God doesn't keep his promises because we go to church. God keeps his promises because he is faithful. Full stop. Abram was learning that. He knew he had messed up through going into Egypt and all that had happened there. And he'd come back to being dependent again on God alone. It's interesting, this chapter, verse 4, starts with worship and then moves through to worship at the end of the chapter. So there's these bookends of worship around this episode in Abram's life. It's worship. Abram realizing he's far from God. Repentance is turning back to God again. This growing in faith. But it goes in circles. It's this circle of faith and then realizing he needs to repent, and then moving deeper into faith and realizing that he needs to repent. And for all of us, that's the same thing. This side of heaven, we will always be in that cycle of repenting and coming back to God and Jesus Christ, and then growing in our faith and repenting and growing. And we keep in that cycle and we keep growing We keep maturing. So Abram worships. Abram still doesn't fully see or understand what God is doing. Hasn't worked out God's plan completely, but he knows and he's beginning to understand that God is always worthy of worship. Even when he doesn't understand what's going on, even when, Lord, I wish things didn't work out this way, Abram realizes this is the holy God of whom we've sung. Always worthy of worship. Even when we're not sure what's going on. So Abram is there with all of his flocks, but he's not on his own. He's with his nephew, Lot, who also has flocks and herds and tents. And things are getting a bit crowded. The phrase that came to mind when I was thinking about this was, this town ain't big enough for both of us. And I wasn't sure where it came from, so I Googled it, and it was from a 1932 film called The Western Code. James, you maybe remember that. I don't know. 1932. This town ain't big enough for both of us. And that was the issue for Abram and Lot. They got these huge herds and a limited amount of space. And as we read through here, we discover that their herdsmen, the people that looked after their herds and their flocks, start to quarrel, probably about the best grazing or maybe water, whatever it was, they're quarreling about that. So Abram seeks to sort it out. Now, Abram has the right to claim what he wants. And in our rights culture of these days, we would have encouraged him, that's your right, Abram. You take what's rightly yours. It's interesting. Abram doesn't. He steps back and he says, Lot, you can choose. We're going to go our separate ways here. Now, if you decide, Lot, you're going to go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. It's your call, Lot. You can do exactly what you want to do. And he generously allows Lot to choose the land that he wants. In a culture which is dominated by my rights, our rights, we have a lesson to learn from Abram, who humbly lets those rights go. And Lot looks around him. He looks around for the best grazing land. He looks around for the best place to be. He looks around for something that will make his life complete and perfect. And he sees this land around the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he thinks, you know, that land's perfect. Well-watered, it's like the land of the Lord, the garden of the Lord. It's a bit like Egypt, it's just so fertile. It's a good place to bring my flocks. And more than that, there are cities there. And perhaps there'll be a bit of trade with those cities and I can increase my wealth. I can make use of those opportunities. So Lot makes his choice. And he moves out towards this valley, the plain of Jordan, sets out towards the east. And Abram lives in the land of Canaan, the promised land. Now, it obviously didn't look too promising because when Lot looked at it, he decided, oh, I'm not going there, I'm going over here. Didn't look too promising for some reason, but it was where God wanted Abram to be. It was where God had promised blessing, and that's where Abram wanted to be. For God would bless him. One of the Bible commentators, Derek Kidner, says, Lot, choosing the things that are seen, found them to be corrupt and insecure. And there are hints of what was to come down the line. Verse 13 simply says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. That's where Lot moves in. The things that he could see, the things that he thought would complete his life, satisfy him, Derek Kidner says they turn out to be corrupt and insecure. He chooses selfishly. I'll have the best land. And he ends up isolated and unloved. And Abram, who lets that go, finds freedom in being obedient to God. He's free in obedience to God. He's not tied down because of his obedience. Abram's free. And we'll see that later on as this whole story works itself out. Lot looks around him and chooses what he can see is good. Abram begins to know what it is to live by faith. And so Paul, when he writes to the early church in Corinth, simply says, we live by faith, not by sight. By sight, we focus on those things that are corrupt and insecure. By faith, we're obedient to the God who is holy, the God who is faithful and keeps his promises. What does that mean? Well, the writer to the Hebrews simply says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Abram knew what he hoped for, to be in God's presence, to experience God's blessing, to be obedient to God, and certain of what we do not see. Lot was certain of what he'd seen. That's the best place to be. Abram said, no, can't see it, but I know where I want to be. At the heart of God's will for me. Being obedient to God's not always easy. Wonder what was going through Abram's head as he watched Lot set off towards those really good, fertile grounds and lands. And it's as though God speaks to him and says, Abram, I want you to lift up your eyes. Look around. Every direction. North, south, east, west. I want you to turn around. I want you to see everything around you. And know that in this I'm going to bless you. That your offspring will be as the dust of the earth. Now, to those of you who are house proud, you know what that must be like. Or very often in the Bible, it talks about the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. It's just unfathomable. This is the extravagant love of God. So if Abram was at all, I'm not sure about this, Abram says, look around you. This is where I'm going to bless you. This is where you will experience God's blessing. Maybe it wasn't the best of land, but it was God's land. It was the land of promise. And there Abram trusted God. It's an interesting thing that often when we least expect it, God blesses us. When we least expect it, God blesses us. When we look at circumstances and we think, well, what's going on here? God is blessing. You remember the story of Joseph? This son with the coat of many colors who ends up being sold into slavery, who ends up having accusations of sexual assault made against him, rots in a prison, forgotten about. And in the midst of that, God is raising him up to lead this nation. The last place you'd expect is where God is blessing. Look at the desolation of a cross, the hopelessness of a tomb, the last place you'd expect blessing, really. And yet, it was through that cross, through that empty tomb, that God brings his blessing, that sins are forgiven, that the gift of eternal life is offered through faith in Jesus. The desolation of the cross, the hopelessness of the grave, there was where God poured out his blessing. Abram way back then was to discover the truth that Paul would say later on when he simply says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, while we were still in a mess, in the most unexpected place, Christ died for us. Blessings and promises. The unfailing love of God. I don't know your circumstances this morning. Everyone's different. But I do know this. God's faithfulness hasn't changed. No matter what you're going through, how you feel about it, God's faithfulness to you has not changed. God still reaches out with that grace and calls you to experience his love, his embrace. If only we listen. If only we live by faith and not by sight. May God give us the grace to live that way for his glory. Let's pray together. Father, we give you our own situations. We give you, Lord, those circumstances around us that we look at and we think, well, surely God's not at work here. Forgive us, we pray. And help us by your Spirit, not only to know what it is to live by faith, but actually to live by faith and all to the praise of your glory. Amen.